For us men, and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. I hope these words sound familiar to all of you. We recite them in the Creed on every Sunday and every holy day of obligation. They're important words. Every time we say these words, we bow. On every Sunday and every holy day of obligation, when we say these words in the Creed, we bow in honor of the incarnation of our Lord, with two exceptions. 2 days of the year we don't bow. On the Annunciation and on Christmas Day, we don't bow because we kneel. We kneel in honor of our Lord's incarnation. Why? Because for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. To make this year's Christmas spiritually meaningful, or even more spiritually meaningful than ever, we should ask ourselves a question. Do you believe in this? Do you believe that God took on a human nature? And let's give ourselves an honest answer. Do we believe that the second person of the Holy Trinity, really the Son of God, became the Son of Mary and was born for us in Bethlehem? The first step to celebrating Christmas is to believe in the incarnation without being ashamed, of the faith that we profess. In a day and age when the world is losing its faith, Christmas is becoming not only commercialized, it's becoming a fairy tale to many people, many Christians. Do you believe that God became man? Give yourself an honest answer. Let's all give ourselves an honest answer. Do not be afraid, the angels say to the shepherds, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. The incarnation is good news, and faith in it must move us to love God back. The incarnation is news of God's love for humanity. Faith in it must move us to love God back. Loving God doesn't mean shedding a tear while kissing the feet of our Lord, of the statue of the baby, of the infant Jesus. If God gives us that grace, let's shed tears. But love of God is more demanding than that. On earth, peace to people of goodwill. To receive the grace of our Lord's incarnation, we have to show him our goodwill. We have to be willing to do his will, even if it costs us something, even at our own expense. Many people evade giving themselves an answer to this question today. Well, do you believe in the incarnation? Precisely because faith moves us to love. They live, many people, would you believe that Christians, many Christians, I hope you're not scandalized by this, but would you believe that many Christians out there live by choice as if God never became man? As if God didn't even exist. How many live without God and without hope in this world, even amongst those who have seen the light? Isaiah speaks of a people who walked in darkness and who have seen a great light. Many choose to remain in the darkness. Listen to what one early church author had to say, Origen. He says, indeed, what use would it be to you that Christ once came in the flesh if he did not enter your soul? What use would it be to you if Christ once came in the flesh but did not enter your soul? A rhetorical question? Well, the fact is that there was no room for our Lord in the inn, because God does not invade. On earth, peace to people of goodwill, the angels say. He looks for those who with goodwill open their doors to him. And the greatest of our Lord's works in our life, just as the least of his works in our life, depend on our wills. Will we let him in? St. Alphonsus de Liguori comments these words, there was no room for them at the inn, saying, I quote, "That inn was a figure of those ungrateful hearts where many find room for miserable creatures, but not for God. How many love their relatives, their friends, even animals, but do not love Jesus Christ and care neither for his grace nor his love." We don't want God to knock on our door, basically. We're okay with the incarnation even sometimes, but we hope that he'll pass by our doors. He won't knock on our doors and try to get into our souls. We all got our attachments, big or small, that we don't want to give up. We know that in our souls there can't be two masters. That's why we're afraid of letting Christ in. We don't want to give up. We don't want to expel the master that's inside. And God won't bulldoze our doors down. He'll be a savior to those who let him in. He'll be a savior and a light to those who let him inside. Because we know that faith in Christ brings with it certain obligations. What does St. Paul say? In the second reading, if you recall, St. Paul told us that Christ came for what reason? Training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age. And many times we don't want to do this. We don't want to hear this. We hope that Christ won't knock on our door and train us. We fall into the sin of today of that deliberate blindness. A light has shone upon us and we choose to remain blind. We choose to remain in the darkness. We say, well, there are no godless ways to reject, no worldly desires to abandon, no need to live temperately, no need to live devoutly. Everything is good. Everything's okay. There is no darkness. There is no evil. There is no sin. Do not disturb me, Lord, reminding me of godless ways and worldly desires that I need to give up. Don't knock on my door. Don't make me change my life. This can regard big things or little things, but it regards us in any case. And there was no room for him in the inn. So tonight, Christmas can be either a night of joy or of sadness for us. Joy, because Christ enters the world as man and he seeks to enter into our souls. If we let him in, then we'll have joy. We'll have peace and joy which Christ brings. If this year will be that year when we let Christ in, finally, we open all the doors to Christ. Or we can keep him out for our usual reasons that we've grown accustomed to, that we don't even consider, that we don't even consider giving up. And if we do that, if this year we just make it another Christmas when we tell our Lord, there's no room for you at the inn, we might be outwardly drinking the eggnog, singing the carols, but deep down inside with sadness we'll be saying, Lord, this year there's no room for you at the inn either. I cannot give up my attachments. Go on, Lord, find yourself another place. So if giving up something that keeps you from Christ, whether it be small or big, whether it entails that you change your life completely, or that you simply break off that last thread that keeps you bound to the things of the earth, if that makes you afraid, consider the words of St. Paul in the best Christmas sermon ever. St. Paul says, "He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him?" If you're afraid to give something up, consider that. How will God the Father, who gave us his Son, not give us everything else with him? And even more in return, more than we can imagine, more than we can hope for. The infinite love of God for us, who gives us himself. God who gives us himself. "For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ," St. Paul says, "that for your sake he became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich." Today, on this day, for us men and for our salvation, God came down from heaven by the Holy Spirit, was born and incarnate of the Virgin Mary, became man. This is the good news and the message of Christmas for us. It is news that God extends to all men of goodwill, all those who let him into their souls to be their light, to be their master, to be their Prince of Peace, to be their Savior. Praised be Jesus and Mary.